I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. When they came on the market over a decade ago, e-cigarettes or vaping were billed as a safer alternative to smoking tobacco. We now know that may not be the case. In fact, there's been a recent outbreak of severe lung illnesses caused by vaping. We're taking a closer look at some of the difficulties and illnesses associated with e-cigarettes on today's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Mehdi Kazravi is a faculty member in the Division of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at UK Healthcare. He recently talked with Dr. Davis about the severe ramifications of using these nicotine delivery devices.
I know we've all seen reports in news media about an increase in lung illnesses associated with vaping. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. These devices started coming into the market in 2007 in the United States, and they have exploded into the market over the course of the next 10-12 years. Initially, there was an interesting report that they went from around 2% of cigarette smokers using these in 2007 to around 13% in a matter of 3 years. And depending on the agents that are used to make the e-liquid, as they call it, or the juice that they put into these devices, they can have lung effects that are generally unintentional and unintended to for the original manufacturers. And that has caused quite a bit of issues. When we looked at these electronic cigarettes, they can come into almost 7,000 different flavors. They can have different agents, including nicotine, occasionally marijuana extracts, and other agents like polycarbonates and formaldehyde, acrolein, that they all can cause lung toxicity. And they have been part of the reason that these agents have been associated with these kind of lung disease. It's kind of interesting in the sense that the main solvents in these electronic liquid combinations is either a vegetable glycerin or propylene glycol. And these two agents have been known to cause lung disease, both from having a oil going inside your lung, in the case of vegetable glycerin, and in the propylene glycol part, it's been used in the theatrical fog. And we know that that's an irritant in that case also.
So this can cause something like a lipid pneumonia?
Exactly. And that's what the most recent data coming out of Wisconsin and Illinois that was recently published in New England Journal of Medicine, what they saw is that they have people that are coming in with shortness of breath, fever, nausea, vomiting, and cough. And when they looked at their lung images, they were infiltrates all over the lung. And in some cases, they did bronchoscopies, where we put people to sleep, go through the lung, and get sampling from their lung. And these washings from the lung were showing macrophages, which are an immune cell, that were filled with oil inside of them. And the thought process is that that's probably the cause of these agents causing a pneumonia, if you may, inside the lung, that unfortunately has taken life of around 5 people so far in the last month or so.
And really, from a clinical perspective, I think all we can do is just maintain supportive care for these patients and hope that they heal?
That's exactly true. Unfortunately, there is no treatment for it. Even in these 53 cases that the New England Journal of Medicine described, they were actually on antibiotics. Most of them actually received steroids, which is usually the medications that we use to treat this kind of lung disease. But unfortunately, most of them actually ended up in the ICU, a few of them inside the on a ventilator, and then there was two of them that actually were on heart-lung machines, what we call ECMO, that were trying to sort of give them oxygen. And even despite that, one of the people that went on ECMO unfortunately died. And other than supportive care and hoping that this disease will take care of itself and people can recover from it potentially, there is no other sort of treatment. So that's the reason that the CDC and the FDA are recommending, if you don't want to get these diseases, don't use electronic cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately as simple as that.
Is there anything else that we've not touched on that you would want our listeners to know about vaping and e-cigarettes?
I think that at this point, unfortunately, both youth and sort of younger adults are more sort of prone to getting these, and it's become, to some extent, fashionable. So having frank talks with sort of younger generation as far as the risk for these devices would be paramount. Especially, there is this notion that these are safer than cigarettes, and I'm not sure if that's the case necessarily. When we look at the patterns that people sort of use these devices, they actually take deeper sort of inhaled puffs of these agents and in larger volumes, almost four times as long and almost four times as much. So they're getting 16 times as much as these sort of inhalants as compared to regular cigarettes. And despite the fact that these are somewhat diluted compared to regular cigarettes, when you consider the pattern of use, they may be as harmful as a regular cigarette, unfortunately.
My thanks today to Dr. Mehdi Khosravi, a pulmonary critical care physician at UK Healthcare, for talking with me about the sudden increase in lung illnesses associated with e-cigarette use. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org, and for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.